Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we come now to Exodus chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is living and active, and reveals your heart to us and your plan and purposes for your people. Help us to hear your word and to receive your word and to respond in obedience to your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds, and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the child went. The girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Moses heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." During those many days, the king of Egypt died. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue for slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. That is Exodus chapter 2 in the English Standard Version. The ESV Bible is what we use here. And so, we see a lot in this chapter. This is a very, very important chapter in this book. We first see Moses' mother's love for him. When it says she bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, this is a way of saying she loved him. Her heart was moved. Her heart pitied him. She knew the command. All the male Hebrew children are to be killed, thrown into the Nile, in fact. And so she loves her son Moses. She's also a very, very wise woman with a very courageous daughter. And so she sets out to take out this whole plan where she puts him in a basket and has it waterproofed with bitumen and pitch, and then puts it in the Nile, which is where the Hebrew male babies are supposed to be thrown into the river. Well, this one just happens to be put into a basket. By the way, the Hebrew word for basket here could actually be translated ark, and it's the same word that's used of Noah's ark. The Ark of the Covenant that's going to come later is a different word, but there's a Hebrew word that's used of only two things in the Old Testament. It's used of Noah's ark, and it's used of Moses' ark here in Exodus 2. Salvation of God through judgment, right? And with mercy. It's a safe place. And if you've seen a movie version of Exodus, whether it's the Prince of Egypt or Ten Commandments or whatever, you've seen this wrongly portrayed. I've always thought that the Prince of Egypt was just a ridiculous scene where the basket goes like tumbling down the river and crocodiles are about to snatch at it, and it goes out of the way, and then it finally lands over by the side. And like, that's not what happened at all. She found a place on the riverbank where there were reeds, and she put it there, most likely knowing that that's where Pharaoh's daughter would come and do her bathing, because it was a private area because there were reeds, and her waiting women could sort of wait with her. And so that was, she knew. And she stationed Miriam to hide and watch. Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket, saw the baby, knew that he was a Hebrew, had compassion, and then out comes Miriam, Moses' sister, saying, "Do you want me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Go, find someone for me." And so she goes to her mother, who is Moses' mother, and says, "Here's a woman who can nurse the baby for you." So you see, Moses' mother is only parted from Moses for a short period of time, maybe a couple of hours, right? And Miriam is watching over him the whole time. So the mother is wise and careful. Miriam is courageous and bold, and God is providing through all of this. She gets her son back to her, and now he's safe because he's under the protection of Pharaoh's daughter, and she gets to nurse him, and she gets to teach him, and she gets to raise him. The other thing is that sometimes it's depicted in movies that he didn't know that he was a Hebrew and he had to discover it and it was a shock to him. No, he knew that he was a Hebrew. He had been taught this from his mother from early years. It probably would have been 3 years old maybe by the time he was brought back to Pharaoh's daughter, maybe even four. And so there was time to instill in him some very basic foundational truth about who he is. And also, Pharaoh's daughter didn't keep that a secret from him. It's very clear from the text that he knew that he was a Hebrew. It's also clear from the text that he was trying to be deliverer, prince, and judge over the Hebrew people. He was trying to deliver them from Egyptian oppression. He thought, I have a spot in the royal court. I'm in a unique position. I can take action. I can save them. But he does it foolishly. He does it sinfully, and he kills an Egyptian who is beating a Hebrew man. And he doesn't think anybody sees it, but he was seen. And he knows that he was seen because two Hebrews were fighting the next day, and he says, "Hey, why are you striking him?" And they say, "Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Pharaoh found out about it, and Pharaoh was not happy about this. Pharaoh knew, probably, that Moses was a Hebrew, probably didn't have quite full, familial ties to him because he was adopted and he was Hebrew. And so now he's killed an Egyptian. He's going to have to die. He sought to kill Moses. And so Moses flees and he goes all the way out to the land of Midian, which is pretty far away. He's exhausted, sits down by a well. And now Moses is in a position where, having been humbled and acting out of compassion, he is able to be a deliverer. And the first group that he successfully delivers are the daughters of the priest of Midian, who is here called Reuel, and who is later called Jethro. I think it's the same guy. And so the daughters include Zipporah, who will become Moses' wife. So God provides through Moses. God provides for Reuel and his family because they need a protector. Apparently, Reuel is older. His daughters are grown. They're marrying age. He's not able to be the man of the family to protect anymore. He's an older man. So Moses is a young man, strong. He's able to protect and to provide. And then God provides for Moses a wife, children, and Moses is taken care of. And then the last paragraph of chapter 2 is so poignant. It could be easily misunderstood. You could read this as if God is totally forgotten about his people, isn't really paying attention, doesn't really know what's happening to them until they pray, until they cry out for help. And then he's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was even happening. I had forgotten all about you. I'm going to remember you now and do something about it. No, that's not what God remembered, God heard, God saw. That's not what that means. It means that God does respond to the prayers of his people. His people had been compromised by centuries of being in Egypt. Now they are starting to cry out to the Lord, and now God is responding to their prayers. Of course he's always known of their situation. Of course his heart has always been for his people, but now he is going to act in response to their prayers and to their cry for rescue. Our prayers are what God has ordained to be the means he uses to prompt himself to act. He says, I will act, I will do what is right, but I will do what is right through the prayers of my people. Because it's important for us to have our hearts turned to God and to seek God. And this remember is covenant language. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. When God answers prayer for his people, it is always on the basis of covenant, what he has promised, what he is engaged to do for his people. Now we have a faithful covenant high priest, Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God and who is continually making intercession for us, continually praying for us, so that God's regard is always being directed to us. And he always sees and he always hears. Now, what we need to do is seek God through our great high priest, Jesus, through the covenant that was fulfilled in his blood, the new covenant. And when we seek God through Jesus on the basis of the new covenant promises, we are always heard, and God always responds and delivers according to his wisdom. Well, we've been introduced to Moses now, and we're being set up for one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Exodus chapter 3 is coming. And so I hope that you'll be with us for that. But first, we are going to jump back tomorrow to Matthew chapter 20, as we continue working our way through God's word, one chapter per day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift that it is. Thank you for the treasure. Thank you for your heart for your people. Help us to trust you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please join me tomorrow for Matthew 20. And then the day after, we'll be back in Exodus chapter 3. Have a blessed day in the Lord.